represents the first championship in our school history for middle school football. And so this picture was this past Thursday night. Yeah, hand clap. This picture was this last Thursday night in Ocala. It was a late night, but it just represents, if you've been in the sport world or in the coaching world, you know that a picture like this represents so much. Now, would I be smiling if we lost that game? Maybe not. But here's what I'm reminded of. Before, as we look at this picture and we think about the season, a couple of weeks back, we had, I'll tell you more of this story later, but we had one of our new players be transferred to the school. He heard the gospel, heard about Jesus over about a couple of month period of time. He was late to practice, and he was about an hour and a half late, very upset. I think I told you this maybe a couple of weeks ago. He finally came, and I said, "Where in the world were you?" And I'm about to make him run laps. We're trying to get ready for a championship coming up in a couple of weeks. He said, "Coach, I just got saved." Wow, now that's a good reason. And so we talked with his dad and him, and it's just amazing. I said, "You know what? We're preparing for the championship in a couple of weeks, but we already won the championship because I believe God sent you to this school, yes, to play football and yes, to play baseball and yes, to learn and yes, to grow, but to get saved. That's it." And so it was awesome. And so we got to talk about things like the word of the week. Every week we have a word of the week. This week was champions. We said, if you're going to be a champion, you got to believe you can be a champion, and you got to go get it done. And I said, look, we're talking about that in football, but how fun is this? Now we bridge gospel, and we say, hey, but really I'm talking about in life. You see, Jesus Christ got it done for you. It was a quarterback sneak, fourth and goal, got over the goal line. Day three represents a touchdown that where the game of life, we are victorious. We are winners. And we say, we are champions. And so as we talk about the book of Philippians, and you know what? I told parents, I said, they're talking about, hey, should we do a pizza party? And this is before the game. I said, I don't want to talk about any of that until we play the game and hopefully win the game. Then let's talk about pizza party. But you know, we said, you know what? Forget all that. Win or lose, we're going to celebrate because we're celebrating what God did all season long. And so we're talking about in Philippians the same kind of thing. We're not driven by our circumstances. In other words, win or lose, happy or sad. We're talking about I was just thinking about this morning. I've thought about it for days, reflecting. But even this morning going, yes, I'm happy as a coach. I am happy. I'm ecstatic we won. I got a big smile on my face, and we'll continue to. But there's something deeper than that, that begins to bring tears, and it's the process leading to that moment. It's the day in and day out of investment leading up to that moment. It's the preaching and teaching and bridging gospel leading up to that moment through the platform of football. 34 kids representing 34 families that I get to minister to and with and partner with outside of our church directly. And so I wanted to say, UBC, we have a unique model of ministry. And you allow me and the other pastors to do those types of things. I just wanted to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. Now, when we talk about being driven by our circumstances, I've got a great interview that I want you to watch and see. Maybe you've seen this or heard about this years ago. This is about a person, a superstar, seeking more than what he's already obtained. This is Tom Brady. I think it's about three Super Bowl rings ago, so he looks a little younger. And I want you to hear in this interview when he's asked, hey, are you satisfied? Are you fulfilled? And they spend a little moment timing it now, on that subject area. But when you watch this, keep in mind, he's coming from a secular perspective. God is not in his equation. God is not in his thought process. But listens to a lost person's response when it talks about, when it comes to the subject area of being fulfilled, having joy, being satisfied, the things that only God can provide. Let's watch this.
Can you go out to restaurants?
If I have the energy to deal with, putting a happy face on, sometimes I don't feel like that.
Now, you seem a bit the reluctant star.
Well, the problem is, it's you can't have one without the other. You can't have the football fame and not the other stuff. So in a lot of ways, I've created this myself.
It's what you always wanted.
You're right. You're right. It has. And I didn't think it came with all the other baggage, though.
The most eligible bachelor in America.
Well, it's very flattering. But at the same time, I don't think I sleep any better at night. Being that. No way.
Do you mean like alone or not alone? What did you mean by that?
Yeah, that's right.
But with all that money, fame, and career accomplishments, we were surprised to hear this from him.
Why do I have 3 Super Bowl rings and still think there's something greater out there for me? I mean, maybe a lot of people would say, hey, man, this is what it is. I reached my goal, my dream, my life is me. I thank God. It's got to be more than this.
What's the answer?
I wish I knew. I wish I knew. I love playing football, and I love being the quarterback for this team. But at the same time, I think there's a lot of other parts about me that I'm trying to find.
Doesn't it just break your heart? And there's thousands of celebrities that have been on top of this world, that have had the fame, they've had the fortune, they have the power, they have the influence, they have all of that. But yet they say, there's got to be more. What's the answer to that, he says. And Tom says, I wish I knew. We know. We know what the answer is. So I'm wondering in our life, in my life and in your life, there are those that maybe are not on top of the world like Tom Brady, but they're on top of their world. And they're seeking after everything that the world would have for them, and they're trying to find that joy and satisfaction. And they say, it's not producing what the world tells me it's supposed to produce. It's leaving me dry. It's leaving me empty and unfulfilled. There's got to be more. I'm wondering who we could answer that question for and to and with that we know that God has us connected to in our journey right now with the platforms he's given us. Today's title, A Life Counted as Worthy. Philippians 1, 27 through 30. In those verses, there's a lot, and we're going to unpack it, and we're gonna study it. It's going to be good stuff today. Last time, a couple of weeks ago, by the way, how was that testimony last week? Was that amazing from our guest speaker last week? What a perspective check. The week before that, though, Pastor Roberto and I tag teamed, and we talked about Paul's prayer for the Philippians, that their love may abound more and more in what? In spiritual knowledge and depth of spiritual insight. And so we said, in other words, no matter their circumstance or situation, may they see Jesus. May they make it about Jesus. The good, the bad, the ugly, the in-between. May we approach everything with making it about Jesus. And when we do, we're going to bring glory to God. Now here's another current modern day example. Some of us in the room may not know who this is, and others of us will. But another superstar of massive influence on the next generation. If we could put this picture up, this gentleman's name is Kanye West. Some of you have seen this on social media already. And he had an interview with Jimmy Kimmel. And he goes on to, if you watch this on YouTube, it's unbelievable. And you say, well, is this real? He converted to Christianity. He's a Christ follower. He's unapologetically saying he is. Now, when you look at the part A of his life, it's anything but. And so Jimmy Kimmel asked him, he says, hey, so now that you've made this shift, like he's a pastor now, he's leading a church, his new album is, I believe it's called Jesus is King, right? And so you go, whoa. And you've got Christians on social media praising God for this, but also saying, Kanye, you be careful, take time, because Satan's going to come after you in a way that maybe you have never experienced before on the platform that you have. But we celebrate a conversion that where part B of his life, the now, this past year, is opposite looking than the part A of his life all the years before that. And we know that Jesus is the only one that can cause that type of life change. And so Jimmy Kimmel says, so Jesus is King. So that's the name of your new album. And it's almost as if Jimmy Kimmel was kind of supporting or kind of teeing up the ball for Kanye West just to hit a home run or hit a grand slam with this and or hit a hole-in-one in golf terms. And he says, so are you a Christian artist now? Are you a Christian artist? Like, we know Christian artists on ZEDA and all this. So are you a Christian artist? And he pauses. I'm like, I'm thinking, what's he going to say? And he says, with a big smile, I'm a Christian everything. And I thought, whoa, that's awesome. I was reminding in Colossians where Paul doesn't say that God or Jesus is not just part of our life. He should be our life, where we say Jesus is everything to us, meaning at work, we're looking to glorify God. At home, we're looking to bring Jesus there. At church, of course. In business meetings, of course. When we do ministry or whatever we're doing, when we're with our friends, that we look to glorify God in Christ. And so Paul had compassion, and he was burdened with this type of mentality and encouraging the church at Philippi that they would continue to make everything about Jesus Christ. And we pray that that would be our prayer here at UBC as we walk through the valleys of death, or as we climb up to the mountaintops, or anything in between, that we make it about Jesus. When we do, when everything's about the Lord, we will give glory to God, which we would say, what is our purpose as Christians? As Christians, we're to bring God glory. We're to declare Him glorious. We're to declare His glory in Christ. You see, you can't bring God glory without Jesus Christ. We declare His glory in Christ. That brings up a lot of other theological debate, but we won't go there right now. We talk about, well, what about the Jews? What about modern day Jews? I say they need Jesus. They need Jesus, built on the foundation of the Old Testament, but now Jesus is the answer that the Old Testament was pointing to, and they say, well, we're bringing glory to God. Yeah, but now you're not worshiping or bringing glory to the Trinitarian God that the New Testament and the Old Testament speak about. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. You can't worship one without the other. And so we declare God glory. We bring Him glory in Christ. And our goal is in every situation that we would do that. And so it makes sense that Paul's clear purpose in life, and by the way, it's also ours, to advance the gospel no matter what. Now that's a big statement. Pastor Nathan, Coach Wilder, if you didn't win that championship, would you be as excited about the gospel? So I've got to be able to say, win or lose, you, the same thing in your platform, that I want to bring glory to God and teach these in my influence not to be circumstantially driven, but driven on the character of God that loves us enough to send Jesus Christ to that cross to conquer sin and conquer death so that we may have salvation from ourselves, salvation from our sin, salvation for eternity as we spend forever in heaven worshiping the only one who has demonstrated that type of unconditional love for us. And so in response, may we insert Jesus into everything to advance the gospel no matter what. Bill and Ann have again demonstrated this type of testimony. And a couple of weeks ago, we had no idea. They had no idea. We had no idea what was about to take place. And Bill has talked to me and says, Pastor, when we celebrate our son in his life, who was a believer, you make sure you share the gospel on that day when we celebrate his life. Because we're gonna declare God glorious in this. We're gonna do our best, Holy Spirit empowered, to walk through this and insert Jesus in it, and maybe through the testimony and through this horrible circumstance that we're never gonna get over on human terms. We're never gonna get over it. But that God will use it to further His kingdom. Some of you know the Christian artist Toby Mac, and I feel like I've grown up with him. I remember in 1989, I was, not to date myself or yourself, but I was in, probably 7th grade, 8th grade. I remember being in a room and having a cassette tape. The next generation has no idea what we're talking about. And I remember DC Talk came out. Some of you remember DC Talk. Toby was the lead on DC Talk, had this cassette tape. My brother and I played this over and rewound it and played it again and again and again, and we played it so much that the tape broke in half. And I remember I got to tell Toby that one day when he came to Orlando, and he probably thought I was a weird kook. But I just said, I feel like you're my mentor. I've grown up with you. He goes, sit down. Who are you? And I told him the tape story in front of like 60 other people, which is embarrassing. But he didn't anticipate what was about to happen to his son. Truett, his oldest son, passed away this past Tuesday night or Wednesday morning. And when I received that text, you're just sick in my stomach. And I go, wow. Toby was actually with his son, I think the day before, at his son's first rap concert. And Toby then flew to Canada to do his Canadian tour. So right after that night at some point or the next morning, all the details aren't out yet. But so Toby, of course, canceled the tour. And you just continue to think about Bill and Ann. And we think about others that we know. And we're with you in spirit. And we can't comfort you the way that you need to be. But we know that the God of heaven, the God in heaven will. And we're praying to that end. But we want to do our best to serve you and come alongside of you. And you guys, I just thank you for another testimony of being driven by the character of God. And we're going to see God work through these circumstances. And I appreciate Bill, and I know Toby Mack and these others will have the same goal to say, we're going to insert Jesus into everything, praying that God's kingdom would be advanced. You see, Paul understood what you understand, Bill and Ann, what Toby understands, what others in this room and others understand that have lost loved ones or maybe even kids. You understand that the best is yet to come. Paul says, the best is yet to come. It's going to be so good. The next heaven, it's going to be the next phase of our life. Heaven is going to be so good. It's going to be so complete. It's going to be so fulfilling. It's going to be so satisfying in heaven that we can't even comprehend it. And that when God chooses to bring us home, that we can say, we will say like Paul in Philippians 1, verses 20 and 21, that Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death, for to me to live is Christ. Remember, doesn't mean so much if Christ is not your everything. But he says, for me to live is Christ. For me to live is to represent Christ. That's my purpose in life. And so with that being said, when I move to the next phase of my life after death, then death is actually gain. After Paul makes this claim, and the tension between desiring to get to heaven now, one of my kids said last couple of weeks, well, why don't we just go to heaven now? Some players, when we were celebrating with pizza and walking them across the street safely as it's not 10 at night, and I'm going, guys, let's go. Come on, we don't want to go to heaven right now. And I went, well, what we do... We do, but we don't. What we do, but we don't. Well, we know we do, but we know that God still has things he wants to do through us and with us and to us. But we say, God, we want to get to heaven in your timing. Because there's God-sized purpose still here. And there's mission still here. There's people that we know like Tom Brady that God desires to save. And he may desire to use you to communicate the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And so there's still work to be done. And so he has this tension between going to heaven or staying here on earth. And then he says this to the Philippians in verse 27 of chapter 1. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel. Verse 28, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation and that from God. Verse 29, for it has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ, you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, Verse 30, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had and now hear that I still have. So let's break this down quickly. Number one, so what does a life look like that is counted worthy of the gospel of Christ? What does that look like? What does that life logo look like? What is that emblem? What is that brand that is that, that says, you know what, you where God awards you as worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, when I put these logos up on the screen, I want you to kind of document in your mind what comes to your mind. All right, first one. All right, so think about it. When you see the Nike swoosh, you probably think of apparel. You may think of athletes. You may think of sports equipment. You may think of a type of sport, depending on how you interact with Nike and all that. But their logo represents a whole lot. In today's day and age, it represents more than just a product you buy at the store. It represents people who are sponsored by this company. It represents so much more than just a product. It's more than a symbol. It's now a brand. And you say, well, what's the difference between a logo and a brand? Well, now a brand, you get deeper. You get into the why behind the product. You get into the how they made the product. You get into ethics. You get into core values. You get into theology. You get into all of this. And you say, okay, when I participate in this company, am I supporting just a logo, or now am I aligning with a brand, which also includes belief system, integrity, and all of these types of things? Let's look at the next one. Some of you are like, I'm not going back there again. And some of you are like, I can't wait to go back there. So the golden arches. Some of you may say, I'll never eat in there, but on a trip and I got to go to the restroom, we're going to stop in. And we're looking for a McDonald's because they're everywhere. So you see the golden arches, and whether you're a kid or whether you're an adult or whether you're a grandparent buying ice cream for your grandkid or whether you got some kids that are kind of obsessed with McDonald's like I have, there's, you know, my son said, when he sees golden arches, he's at number six, he's ready. Number six, regular chocolate milkshake, no toppings, we're ready, boom. It's almost like they have it pre-prepared and ready for him. But when you think of it, you may think of something else. Again, it's a logo, it's an emblem, but it now has a brand that represents so much more than just a hamburger. Let's go to the next one, last one. Chevy. Chevy or Ford, did I ask you to raise your hand? No, I won't. But you see this logo and you see different things and mindsets and different thoughts come to your mind. And as we look at these examples, the branding of theology, belief system, worldview. And so here's my question for us this morning. When God awards a life that's worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ, there's a logo there. There's a life logo. There's a life emblem. And so when other people think of you at work or at home or your spouse or at church or wherever you find yourself, you represent someone. You represent something. What is it? In other words, what is your life logo? But even deeper than that, on the surface, what is your life brand? Who and what are you about? What are your core values? What is your theology? What is your worldview? Who are you and what do you represent? That would be your life logo. Today, as we unpack this, we're going to see these characteristics will make you, if they're a part of your logo, if they're a part of your life, you're going to be awarded being worthy of the gospel of Christ. Paul gives us these characteristics, letter A in your notes. The first one is standing firm for Christ with other believers. We learned that in a passage this morning. Not just standing firm for things that don't matter for eternity, but you're standing firm for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, you're not doing it by yourself. You're doing it with others called the church. We have people standing for all kinds of things. But until we stand for Jesus Christ, we'll fall for anything. We're living in a day and age where we say, I'm just going to stay on the sideline and stay quiet. If you don't take a stand, and what I'm talking about this morning is a stand for Jesus Christ, get ready to fall and follow anything else that's going to come and lead you astray. We must stand firm for Christ. We can't do it alone. We must do it with other believers. There's a need for fellowship with a community of believers, and the Bible calls this the church. And I pray and I hope that we have this here at UBC. Ecclesiastes 4 says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie down together, they keep warm. But how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. We got to do it together. We must take a stand and stand firm for the gospel with believers, those of a like spirit, like mind, and like heart. The next characteristic of a life worthy of the gospel of Christ is letter B in your notes, that we are unified around Christ. Now, this is essential. This is critical. Not just unified around something. What if you are unified around the wrong thing? Pastor, we are unified. But what if you're unified around the wrong thing? Yes, you're unified, but around what? Muslims are unified around Allah. Well, they're unified. Does that make them right? No, they're unified around the wrong thing. What about an unethical business? They're unified around cheating. Oh, they're unified, but they're unified around the wrong practice to achieve results. What about a misprioritized team that is unified around winning at all costs? They're unified, but they're unified around the wrong ethics. It's the same for churches who have lost their way. The confused church says, we're a unified church. The problem is that they can be unified around the wrong thing. It can happen easily in churches. Their methodology can be good. In other words, how they do ministry is good. All that looks good on the surface. Their theology can be good. In other words, what they believe in, all that looks good and legitimate. Their core values can be good. In other words, biblical principles that they stand on, all that on the surface looks good, but their motives are wrong. In other words, why they do what they do, why they do the ministry is wrong, but they're unified. They have gradually lost their way and sometimes don't even realize it, that Satan snuck in through a crack somewhere in the foundation and the church is unified, but they're unified around the wrong thing. Their motivation is not right. They're not doing it anymore for the glory of Christ. They're doing it more for the glory of themselves. They're not maybe promoting Jesus Christ. Well, it looks like they are on the surface, but their motives are not right, and therefore they're not bringing God glory. And so they can operate in unity, but at the same time, they're moving away from God. Why? They're unified around the wrong thing. And so what the challenge for us would be is, let's not just be unified, not just be a unified church, but a church who is unified around Jesus Christ. What this means is that he's at the center of our methodology. He's at the center of our theology. He's at the center of our core values. He's the reason why we do what we do. He's at the center of our motives. And yes, he's even at the center of our business meetings. The next quality or characteristic to be a life worthy of the gospel of Christ is this question: are we fearless for Christ? Fearless for Christ. And so we're not just talking about being fearless, like a daredevil, although I had fun looking up this guy. You've heard of Felix Baumgartner, maybe? Do you remember hearing about this? So I looked it up. Maybe I heard about it back then, but let me read to you a little bit about what this daredevil has done. This would not be me. If this would be you, I want to know who it would be. The launch was originally scheduled for October 9, 2012, but was aborted due to adverse weather conditions. The launch was rescheduled and the mission instead took place on October the 14th, 2012, when Baumgartner landed in eastern New Mexico after jumping from a then world record of 127,852 feet and falling a record distance of 119,431 feet. The altitude record was broken by another individual in 2014. But Baumgartner also set the record for the fastest speed of free fall at 843.6 miles per hour, making him the first human to break the sound barrier outside of a vehicle. Baumgartner was in free fall for 4 minutes and 19 seconds. I get scared to jump off a chair. So that's awesome. That's a logo that he represents. He's crazy. He's a daredevil. He takes risks. But what Paul is talking about, God through Paul, is, listen, if you're going to have a logo that's worthy of the gospel, you need to be fearless to represent the gospel, not just fearless. In our world, we try to impress others so much, don't we? We just care about what other people think. I found an article about in 30 seconds or less, you could really impress somebody. Neutralize the fight or flight response. Respect boundaries. Feed expectations. Be mindful of body language. Stay positive. Keep control of your attitude. Manage your moods. Synchronize. Use sensory language. Be curious, open-minded, and interested. Has everyone got all this? Dress for success. Have a personal statement. And in 30 seconds or less, if you do all of that, man, you're going to impress that person or those people. I just go back to the Bible. And the Bible says you don't have to impress anybody but God. And God is impressed with you in Christ. Very much so. Let's go with what the Bible says. Paul says in Galatians 1:10, "For am I now seeking the approval of man?" Think about that in today's day and age, and the temptation to impress everybody and put perfect pictures on the internet and all of this, because it makes us look like things are great when in reality they're not. But we would not tell anybody that for fear of what they would think about us, because we're trying to impress them. He says, "For what am I doing? For am I now seeking the approval of man or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ." That woke me up. How about you? If I'm trying to please anybody other than God himself, I might not be a servant of Jesus Christ. It gets you back to the why behind the what. It gets you back to the main thing. And it should give you confidence that you don't need to worry about what anybody thinks of you. A lot of times growing up as a student pastor, and even now, my wife and kids would be like, "Dad, what are you wearing today? Like, where are you going? Who are you going to go see?" Because I just was always wearing high socks and different outfits and different colors. And I said, "It's just me. I don't care what anybody thinks. I'm over that." No, not really. But I am. I'm over that. One time I was preaching and I needed some black socks. But I didn't have any dress black socks. So I got my soccer black socks and I put them on. And one of these guys that was in the congregation said, "Pastor, I mean, that's cute and everything. And I mean, no one can see it. It's under your pants. But like, I mean, when are you going to grow out of that?" And I wore those socks every week for the next one. I said, "Grow out of what? Am I wearing these socks for you? I just need black socks. I'm not worried about what you think about my black socks. I'm just worried about preaching the gospel and representing him. And if he's excited about what I'm doing, I'm not worried about what you think about my socks." And so we got to be odd for God sometimes. If we're going to make a difference, you're going to be different. And in today's day and age, we got to be ready to stick out like a sore thumb. You gotta be ready to listen. There's plenty of darkness out there. You're gonna be the light. You're gonna shine, and others are gonna notice. And you need to be ready that you're not trying to impress anybody. And so, whether it's being fearless in relationships or fearless like a daredevil, we're not talking about that. Be fearless in representing Jesus Christ and his cause. If you do, and if you are, God will say, "I'm gonna count you worthy of the gospel." That's your life logo. That's your emblem. That's your brand. When other people think about you, they're going to see it and they're going to think about me. Letter D in your notes. Enduring through suffering for Christ is another characteristic. Enduring through suffering for Christ. Not just suffering at random. And we're sensitive to this, especially for the past couple of weeks. But you think about your life, you think about this year, the last decade, you think there's a couple of things here when you say, okay, so as a Christian, we're going to go through suffering. I thought becoming a Christian meant that we'd be saved from suffering and life would be easy and all that. But that's not true. Now, the next phase in heaven, yes, that is true. There won't be a tear, there won't be suffering, there won't be pain, and we look forward to that day. But we're in this world now. We're not of it, but we're in it. And it includes suffering for the cause of Christ. Suffering has many faces. Paul wrote this, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I always turn to this passage when it comes to going through tough times. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the whole chapter is awesome, but just a couple of verses, verses 8 and 9. Paul wrote, "We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We're perplexed, but not driven to despair. We're persecuted, but not forsaken. We're struck down, but we're not destroyed." And if you break that down, you've got several types of suffering here. You have mental, you have physical, emotional, spiritual, that there's going to be pain in every one of those areas. And each of these are different ways that we can suffer. And when suffering comes, often several of these types of suffering will be involved. And you say, well, what's the purpose in this? Why suffer? Suffer equips us for ministry. How do we go through, you know, firsthand experience helps us to minister better with someone who goes through that same experience. And so when you're going through something that's rough, be ready because you're going to make it out on the other side. You keep your eyes on the prize, and then when you make it out, you look to your right and look to your left, and you look behind you, and you start pulling people with you because they're going through the same thing that you just came out of, and they feel like they can't get through it. And because you got through it in Christ, you're going to be able to communicate that to them. Now, someone that hasn't gone through that circumstance, whatever it is, can still minister and pull people out. But how much more powerful is it to say, "I was right where you are. I was right there." And so suffering brings a personal experience that equips you for maybe more effective ministry. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 4, that God comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. And so our last note today, letter E, all of these characteristics that we just went over in our passage, all of them combined equal a clear Christian witness. They equal a clear Christian logo. They equal a clear Christian emblem, a clear Christian symbol, a clear Christian brand that again is built on core values and biblical truth and why we believe what we believe. Theology and worldview and all those deeper things. And the message of salvation in Christ and the reality of the consequence of hell is a part of this discussion according to this passage, because how do you talk about a Savior when you skip over sin? How do you talk about a heaven when you never talk about the reality of hell? And so you talk through the gospel when your life logo is representing the gospel. And so when we see these logos, what do these represent? Look on the screen here. And if the worship team would like to come up too, we're about to conclude. So this is you and this is me. That's who that is right there. That's who that is right there. And I want you to put yourself in the place of your kids. How do they think about you when they think of you? Maybe that depends on the latest circumstance. You think about your colleagues at work, your fellow workers, classmates, teachers, coaches, pastors, friends. If that's you, when they look at you as you're looking at yourself on the screen, what comes to their mind? Now, that should be convicting in a lot of ways. I'm scared to ask my kids what they think about me. What's the first thing, kids, when you think of daddy? Whoa. How about you? What about and all of, you know, my platforms are your platforms. There should be, hopefully there'll be encouragement there, but also there's going to be, you're going to be convicted to say, you know what? As a dad, I got to get better. As a Christian, I got to spend more time in prayer, be empowered by the Holy Spirit more. I got to represent God more, right? There's the conviction there. Not doing it to earn God's love at all. But because he loves me, I want to be counted worthy of the gospel of Christ. I want that to be my logo. When we go to celebration of life services and things like that, when we think about our life, when we think about legacy, you know, what is said on our tombstone? What is said at that funeral? What is said in the obituary? What is written about us? All of this, what is remembered? That's our life logo, and every day counts. Every week, every month, every year, it all counts. And that's why we say if we live daily, we need to make it about Jesus Christ so that in the end, Jesus says, you confess me before the Lord and I will confess you before the world. I'll confess you before my Father. If you don't, then I'll deny you like you denied me. Whoa. You know, we live for Jesus Christ. We make it about him. And then at the end of it all, we hear these words as he counts us worthy. Well done, my good and what? Faithful servant. Not perfect. Far from perfect. Now perfect by being covered by the blood of Jesus. But faithful. Faithful to what? Faithful to what God wants you to do. Faithful to the goals he's given you, the callings he's given you. Living a lifestyle that represents him, that's counted worthy. What about this picture right here? So our church. We say that's our logo. That's our UBC, University Baptist Church. That's our logo. So now collectively and together, what does the community think about us when they drive by? What does the school think about? What is the principal? What are the teachers? What are the students? Harvest Festival coming up this week, Fall Festival. Every kid and family is going to get a package like this that contains information about our church and information, more importantly, about Jesus Christ. I've asked them to make sure that my trunk, and I still got to determine my candy because I want candy to bridge gospel. Here, kid, here's a Butterfinger. Jesus will be your butter. Now, that doesn't make sense. Here, kid, here's a lifesaver. Jesus Christ can save you. Mom, what does he mean? I'm scared. Pray for me because I still got to buy the right candy to represent gospel. But when all else fails, I'm going to have a gospel track. And I'm going to work it in because we're going to flip that day into a day that can glorify God. But as the community comes, what is our logo? I mean, UBC, but what's our life logo? Are we collectively as a church counted worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ? So here's the question. When our world sees your life, my life, our life, is it clear? Like the golden arches. It's crystal clear. We know what that represents. The Nike swoosh. We know what it represents. Even the Chevrolet logo. We know what it represents. Is our logo fuzzy? Do people know what we represent? That's the question we're asking. What Paul would say is, make your life logo worthy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by the way, here's what that looks like.